What we've been studying is we've been working our way through the book of John. John is the writer, and he has been laying out a case for the godhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just a human, he's not just a good teacher, but he is Almighty God who stepped off the throne of heaven and came to this earth. God in the flesh, all man, all God, all at the same time. And we've worked our way up to chapter 14. So if you want to turn there, we're going to read just a few verses this morning. We wanted our graduates to have most of our time, so we're just going to kind of hit the highlights of a few verses this morning. We'll start in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, troubled. Is that the same word we talked about last week? It is. Troubled was the word that was used for Jesus when he showed up at the tomb of his best friend Lazarus. Remember that? His heart was troubled. He began to weep. And this is that same word that Jesus is using for his disciples. His public ministry is over. He's not out in the middle of town. They're in Jerusalem for the Passover. But he is in the upper room with his disciples. And it's just Jesus and the 12 disciples in that upper room. They've already had the Last Supper. He's already washed their feet. And last week, he sent Judas out because he knew that the time had come for Judas's betrayal. And so now it's Jesus with just the 11 disciples. And this is what he's telling them. He says, now don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, Almighty God, but Jehovah God, but I want you to believe in me also. That word believe is the one that we have read over and over and over in almost every chapter that we've studied in John. And it has nothing to do with mental ability at all. It's all about your heart. It symbolizes a commitment, right? A surrender of my life. He says, don't get troubled. Don't get down. You believe in God, surrender your life to me. And you know what? There's a huge message there for us as well. You know what? We're celebrating graduates today, but there's a lot of people that walked in these doors today troubled. It's been a bad week. It's been a bad time. Maybe it has to do with your job or your finances or your family or your health or whatever it might be. But some people walked in here today troubled. And Jesus' words to the disciples are just as good for us today. You believe in God. Now give me your life. I might not make the trouble go away, but I'm gonna walk with you through the hard times. And it might be something that I'm going to teach you through the hard times, but I want you to know, I am right there with you if you will make that surrender of your life to me. All right? You believe in God, believe in me. Doesn't matter what your hard time is, it's going to be okay if you'll allow God to own that with you. All right? What a huge, huge statement that is. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Several key words here you might want to underline there. My Father. Oh, what a declaration of deity. He called Jehovah God his Father. Right? They had a father-son relationship, but not like our earthly fathers and sons, right? Where one was the offspring of the other, but a personal relationship with Almighty God. Because the context here in this whole book of John is that Jesus is Almighty God in the flesh. He's all God and all man all at the same time. Everywhere else he said this up until now, there were crowds of people around him. The religious leaders were there, and they were the ones that would always argue. How can you say that? How can you blaspheme Almighty God? How can you call yourself God's son when you're just a man? Well, he was man, but he was all God. All at the same time, he was Almighty God that had come to earth to be our Savior. And it says, my Father. And it talks about his house, right? In my Father's house, which is a reference to heaven, right? It's the eternal place where Jesus is, where the Father is, and where every believer will get to spend eternity in heaven with Almighty God. All right? In my Father's house are many mansions. This throws us off because we have our own concept of what a mansion is, right? We think of this monster house with immaculate lawns and the pool and the garden and all this other. No, it doesn't mean mansion like that. But this is talking about the abode where God is in heaven. And mansion would be better translated room. In my Father's house are many rooms. You have to remember, this was Middle Eastern culture. And in that culture, when the children would grow up and get married, they wouldn't get their own house. They would just build another room on to the parents' house. And then they would, with another child, would build another room. And the extended family all lived together. And so in my Father's house, in heaven, there's going to be a place. It's a real place. But you don't have your own individual house. You don't have to cut grass. You know what I'm saying? And all those other kind of chores that we do around our homes. But there is a real place called heaven. It's not just a dream. It's not just a philosophy. And it's not like some of the wackos today are teaching. Have you heard anybody teach that we're living in heaven right here? What? Are you kidding? Listen, if this is heaven, I quit, right? I mean, this is not heaven. But there is coming a day when true believers, real believers, not make believers, but true believers will get to spend an eternity with Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Look at verse 3. This is so huge. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. Does there sound like that there's any question about him coming back? Does it say I might come again? Does it say if the weather's good, I'll come again? No, I will. It's a promise. I will come again. This is the night that he's going to be betrayed. This is the night of his arrest. He's just a few hours away from crucifixion, 3 days away from the resurrection, and then he will ascend into heaven, and the day is coming when he will come back in an event called the rapture, right? But he doesn't come all the way to the earth. Believers are called to meet him in the sky, but the next time that he returns to the earth is referenced as his second coming. He's coming back. There's no question. There's no doubt about that at all. But the biggest promise is at the end of the verse. Keep reading with me. And I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Did you get that? That where I am, you may be also. If we're talking about heaven, and I said, you know what? Hey, let's just put a whiteboard up here and tell me what heaven's going to be like. I'm just going to write some thoughts up here. Usually the first thought that's thrown out is, well, there's going to be streets of gold. Okay, the Bible talks about that. Streets of gold. What else? Well, he says there's no more sickness. Yeah. No more sadness. Yeah. No more tears. No more death, and on and on and on. The beauty of heaven. And I'm looking forward. Do you remember when we've studied about heaven? That you can just wish you were somewhere and zoop, you're there. That's what I want to do. I just want to zoop all over the place. And, you know, travel is going to be so good. Just walking through doors, because we won't have a physical body. We'll have a spiritual body. And we've got this long list of what heaven is going to be like. But did you notice in that verse that none of those things are listed? Did you notice that? What did it say? That where I say it, am, there you may be also. Listen, if it wasn't for Jesus and Almighty God being there, it wouldn't be heaven. That's what heaven is. Heaven is not just the beauty and the agelessness and the no more sickness and pain. Those are great things to look forward to. But the beauty of heaven is the fact that we will get to spend it with Almighty God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? There's a lot of people that say, well, why do I seem different than other people? Because I don't get all mushy-gushy. It doesn't excite me about spending eternity in heaven with God. Right? I just want to see my parents or my grandparents or whatever the case may be. What's keeping me from being so excited about a future in heaven? Well, number one, if you're not a believer, there's no reason for you to be excited, because guess what? You're not going to be there, right? Why get excited about a place that you've chosen not to go to? Okay, but what if I'm a believer? I'm not playing games. I'm not going through the motions. I'm a real believer. I have surrendered my life to Christ. But you know what? If I'm not having a time every day where I get alone with God so that I can learn more about Him, so that I can grow closer to Him in my relationship with Him, this is where you fall more in love with Him. This is where you learn more about Him. This is where you ask God to make you more like Him. Oh, folks, why would you be excited? What would there be to really look forward to other than just some physical things that are going to be so minor compared to the fact that you are going to be with Jesus? Unbelievable. And man, I want to encourage you, if you don't have that kind of a priority in your life where you're alone with Him every morning or every evening, whenever you're at your best, man, I would encourage you, could you make that commitment this morning? Let's keep reading. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. We've been together for 3 years. You've heard me teach many times a day, day after day after day, that it takes a surrender of your life. It's not about just going to church. It's not about being good. It's about saying, God, I want to give you my life. But yet they say, you know what? Jesus told them they know the way. Thomas said to him in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Are you serious? We've talked about this as I've taught. We've talked about it at night around the campfire. And after 3 years, you still don't get it? Oh my gosh, come on, guys. Look at verse 6. This is so huge. Jesus said to him, I am. Remember, we've talked about that so much. This is the sixth time he's made that I am declaration. Who did God tell Moses back in the Old Testament when he sent him to confront Pharaoh and to meet with the Hebrew leaders? And Moses says, well, who do I tell them I've talked to? Who do I tell them sent me here? What is your name? And what did God say? Tell them, here's my name. My name is what? I am. Oh, that's a great name for a song. Man, I wish Pat would sing that one day. I am. And he said, I am what? I'm deity. I am Almighty God. I am God in the flesh. And his statement is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say a way. He didn't say one of many ways, as we're taught today to be tolerant and inclusive of other religions and other denominations and other things. I am what? The way. The signifies what? The one and only. I am the one and only way to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way. And with that statement, I am the way, it forces every person to make a choice. If I am the only way that you're going to spend eternity in heaven, then now you've got to choose. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to surrender your life to me, or are you going to live your own life? That's a choice that you have to make. And it forces every person in here to choose. And when he said the way, boy, this wipes out a lot of controversy, because there's a lot of people that think, well, we're in a Baptist church today, so the Baptist, they have their way that they tell you to go to heaven. But if we were in another church, you know, the Catholics have their way. If we were Jewish, they have their way. If we were Muslims, they have their way. And everybody's got their own way. How do you know which one is right? Almighty God said, I am what? The way. The way. I'm the way. There's not many ways. There is only one way. And whether or not you experience that is by making a full surrender of your life to Christ. God, I give you my life. A partial commitment, which so many people, they've got just enough of church so they don't feel guilty, but not really a full sold out commitment to God because they don't want to be weird. I still want to make my own decisions and live my own life. But man, when I die, I want to make sure I go to heaven. Give me that ticket so that I can go to heaven. You know, this half and half, this partial commitment is absolutely worthless. It's a total sold out commitment to Almighty God. Jesus knew that his death was imminent. He's inside of 24 hours of tasting death, the worst possible death. Crucifixion was the most horrendous death known to man at that point in time in history. It was so gory. It was so painful. It was just so horrendous. The Romans wouldn't crucify their own citizens. They said, no, we'll chop their heads off. At least that's quick for capital punishment, but we would never make our own people suffer crucifixion. But the Lord knew in just a few hours, I'm ready to die. That's why I came. I came to show people who God was, or who God is. I came to teach people how much God loves them, and I'm ready to be their substitute, their sacrifice. Because you see, going to heaven is not about, it's not about what college these kids go to. It's not about what kind of job or career you've got, what kind of family you have, how much money you make. You know, it's not about what church you're a part of. It's all about a surrender of your life, because it deals with the issue of sin. And the only way for you to be forgiven, Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's about to die and be buried. 3 days later, he's going to rise from the dead, right? And that made forgiveness available, but not automatic. Just because he died on the cross, just because he was raised from the dead, doesn't mean that everybody in here automatically just goes to heaven. No, but it's available. It's available, but the choice can only be yours. You can't make a choice for somebody else. It has to be yours. Oh, folks, here's my question to you. He is the way, unmistakable without a doubt. He is the Messiah, all God, all man, all at the same time. My big question is he your Messiah? Because that determines where you spend eternity. Have you given him your life? Pastor, how do you know? I mean, I don't want to go through my life wondering where I'll spend eternity. How do you know? Here's the proof that you've given your life to Christ. He changes your life. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new direction. He gives you new goals. He gives you new priorities, new values. He gives you a new vocabulary. He gives you new relationships. He gives you purpose in your life. So my question to you is this. Do you know him as your Messiah? Has he changed your life? Are you a different person because of your surrender that you made at that point in time, whether it was as a child or a student or young married, whenever it was? Has he changed your life? Because if there's no proof, then in the privacy of your heart, that's the greatest need you have this morning. And I would pray that you would, just in your heart, as we pray together in just a moment, would you just say, God, listen, I've never meant this. I've never been serious about it. But I want to give you my life this morning. Will you come into my heart? Would you make me your child? Would you forgive me of my sins? And would you change my life? I want to love you and live for you for the rest of my life. Do you need to do that today? Oh, I pray if you do, that you'll surrender your life right now. Bow your heads with me. Father, we love you and we thank you, God, that you loved us enough that you were willing to go to that cross, that you were willing to pay our penalty for the sin in our lives. Father, that you said, you know what? I will die in your place. Thank you, Father, for making our forgiveness available. And I pray right now for the people in this room who have never surrendered their lives to you. God, that they would do that in the privacy of their heart right this minute. That they would say, God, I need you. I want to be saved. I want to be your child. Would you come and live inside of me right now? And Father, I pray that that's being prayed all over this auditorium right now. Father, I thank you for those commitments. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.